Good morning, and welcome to Rockwell Medical's second quarter 2026 results conference call and webcast. Please note, this event is being recorded. At this time, I would like to turn the conference call over to Heather Hunter, Chief Operating Officer at Rockwell Medical. Heather, please go ahead.
Good morning, everyone, and thank you for joining us for this update on Rockwell Medical. Joining me on today's conference call are Dr. Mark Strobeck, Rockwell Medical's President and CEO, and Jesse Neri, Rockwell Medical's CFO. Before we begin, I would like to remind you that this conference call will contain forward-looking statements about Rockwell Medical within the meaning of the federal securities laws, including but not limited to the types of statements identified as forward-looking in our annual report on Form 10-K and our subsequent periodic reports filed with the SEC. These statements are subject to risks and uncertainties that could cause actual results to differ. Please note that these forward-looking statements reflect our opinions and expectations only as of today. Except as required by law, we specifically disclaim any obligation to update or revise these forward-looking statements in light of new information or future events. Factors that could cause actual results or outcomes to differ materially from those expressed in or implied by such forward-looking statements are discussed in greater detail in our periodic reports filed with the SEC. Rockwell Medical's quarterly report on Form 10-Q for the 3 months ended June 30th, 2026, was filed prior to this call and provides a full analysis of the company's business strategy, as well as the company's second quarter 2026 results. The reconciliation of non-GAAP measures we discuss on today's call can also be found in today's press release, our Form 10-Q, and other reports filed with the SEC, along with today's press release. Our updated investor presentation and a replay of today's call can be found on our website under the Investors section. Now, I will turn the call over to Rockwell Medical's President and CEO, Dr. Mark Strobeck.
Thank you, Heather, and good morning, everyone. Thank you for joining us today on Rockwell Medical's second quarter 2026 earnings conference call and webcast. The second quarter was another important step forward for Rockwell Medical. We delivered strong year-over-year growth, continued to expand gross margin, generated positive operating cash flow, strengthened our customer portfolio, and advanced the operational initiatives that we believe will continue to drive long-term shareholder value. As a result, we remain on track to achieve our full year 2026 guidance while continuing to execute against our strategy for further growth in the years ahead. When I think about where Rockwell is today compared to just a few years ago, the difference is significant. Our focus over the last several years has been straightforward: to build a strong business, improve profitability, generate cash, diversify our customer base, increase operational efficiency, and establish a foundation capable of supporting long-term growth. Those objectives have driven nearly every strategic and operational decision we have made. Today, we are seeing tangible evidence that those efforts are working. During the second quarter, net sales increased 11% compared to the prior year period, driven by continued customer growth, increased purchase activity from existing customers, and the impact of pricing actions implemented across portions of our portfolio. Gross profit increased and gross margin expanded to 18%, reflecting higher volumes and improved operating efficiency. We also generated positive cash flow from operations and ended the quarter with a strong cash position. These results demonstrate continued progress in the execution of our strategy and further improvement in our financial performance. Perhaps equally important, these results are not driven by a single customer, a one-time initiative, or a short-term event. They are being generated through disciplined execution across the organization. A key component of our strategy has been creating a more diversified and durable revenue base. We currently serve approximately 300 customers, including all five major U.S. dialysis providers, while also supplying products to more than 30 international markets. Over time, we have worked deliberately to reduce customer concentration and increase the percentage of business conducted under longer-term agreements that provide greater visibility and predictability. The second quarter included additional progress on this front. We announced a new agreement with Heritage Dialysis, the renewal of our long-standing relationship with Aqua Dialysis. Both agreements reinforce our position as a trusted supplier and further strengthen the recurring nature of our revenue base. Importantly, these agreements also include annual pricing provisions that better align our products with the value we provide our customers. Our commercial momentum also continues to build in regions where we are investing significant effort. As a result, we continue to see meaningful growth in the Western United States as recently onboarded customers continue to transition business to Rockwell. These wins are particularly important because they demonstrate our ability to compete successfully in new geographies while leveraging existing manufacturing and distribution infrastructure. We continue to remain the leading supplier of liquid bicarbonate concentrates and one of the largest overall providers of hemodialysis concentrates in the United States. We believe our products and services provide meaningful value, and our customers continue to depend on us to deliver high-quality products reliably and consistently in an environment where supply continuity is critical. Another area where we are seeing encouraging progress is operational efficiency. We have invested substantial time and resources into improving our manufacturing footprint, streamlining operations, optimizing distribution, and implementing automation initiatives. Many of these projects required upfront investment and significant organizational focus. While they were designed to create long-term benefits, we are now beginning to see those benefits reflected in our financial results. One of the clearest examples is the successful activation of two new automated liquid production lines, which increase our manufacturing capacity, improve efficiency, reduce labor intensity, and lower production costs. As utilization continues to grow, we expect these and future investments to continue to contribute to margin expansion and profitability improvements over the coming years. Our objective is not simply to improve margins for a quarter or two. We are focused on creating structural advantages that support sustainable profitability over the long term. When we discuss our goal of achieving approximately 30% gross margins by 2029, that target is not based on a single initiative. It reflects multiple drivers working together, including higher volume, pricing discipline, increased automation, improved manufacturing efficiency, distribution optimization, and continued operating leverage as the business grows. We believe the progress we delivered during the second quarter demonstrates that these initiatives are moving in the right direction. Beyond our core concentrates business, we are also focused on creating future growth opportunities that are closely aligned with our existing renal care platform. During the second quarter, we incurred a modest amount of expense related to the evaluation and development of a new medical device opportunity that we believe complements our current product portfolio and leverages the commercial relationships, manufacturing expertise, and market knowledge we had built over many years. Importantly, this is a measured investment that is being funded within our existing operating plan and does not alter our commitment to maintaining a strong balance sheet and positive operating cash flow. While it is still early in the process, we believe this opportunity offers an attractive way to expand our offerings while remaining focused on disciplined capital allocation and creating long-term shareholder value. We will provide additional updates as they become available. Looking ahead, our long-term growth strategy remains centered around three core pillars. First, we will continue growing our core hemodialysis concentrates business through customer acquisition, geographic expansion, enhanced customer retention, and disciplined pricing. Second, we intend to broaden our portfolio with complementary renal care products that can leverage our existing infrastructure. Third, we will continue to evaluate innovations that improve the patient experience and expand our portfolio within the broader renal care ecosystem. Together, these initiatives support our goal of generating annual net sales in excess of $100 million by 2029 while continuing to improve profitability and cash generation. Before I turn the call over to Jesse, I'd like to address our recently completed reverse stock split. We recognize that some investors may naturally compare this reverse stock split to actions taken during prior periods in the company's history. particularly those who have followed Rockwell for many years. However, it is important to recognize that the circumstances surrounding this reverse split are fundamentally different. The reverse stock split completed this year was undertaken to regain compliance with Nasdaq's minimum bid price requirement, to increase interest from institutional investors, and reassure customers' confidence in Rockwell. While market conditions and trading dynamics contributed to Rockwell's share price performance, the reverse split was not driven by the need to raise capital, the deterioration in our operating performance, liquidity concerns, financial concerns, or change in our business outlook. Unlike prior periods, this reverse split was not undertaken in connection with, nor will be followed by, a capital raise. At the time of the split, Rockwell has demonstrated continued revenue growth, improving profitability, positive operating cash flow, expanded margins, and a strengthened balance sheet. Since completing the reverse split, we have regained compliance with NASDAQ's listing requirements, and the matter has been closed. More importantly, today, Rockwell is fundamentally stronger than it was several years ago. We have strengthened our balance sheet, improved profitability, expanded margins, diversified our customer base, generated positive operating cash flow, invested in automation, and established a clear strategic roadmap for future growth. We believe these accomplishments are what should define Rockwell Medical's, should define today's Rockwell Medical. We also continue to believe there is a meaningful disconnect between our current market valuation and the progress being made within the business. While markets ultimately determine value, our responsibility is straightforward: execute our strategy, meet our commitments, communicate transparently, and continue to build a business that generates sustainable long-term returns. We believe the best way to close that gap is through continued execution, and our team remains intensely focused on delivering results. As the second half of 2026 gets fully underway, we are encouraged by the momentum in the business. We believe our company is stronger operationally, healthier financially, and better positioned strategically than it has been in recent years. While there is still work to do, we are confident that the actions we have taken, combined with the opportunities ahead of us, position Rockwell Medical for continued growth and value creation. With that, I'll turn the call over to Jesse to review our second quarter 2026 financial results in more detail.
Thank you, Mark. Good morning, everyone. Net sales for the 3 months ended June 30th, 2026 were $17.8 million, representing an 11% increase compared to net sales of $16.1 million for the same period in 2025. The increase was primarily driven by sales to new customers in the Western United States, increased purchasing from existing customers, and annual pricing actions implemented across our portfolio. For the 6 months ended June 30th, 2026, net sales were $35.1 million, which was in line with net sales for the same period in 2025. While net sales for the 6 month comparative periods were consistent year over year, it is important to point out that the first half of 2025 sales included higher purchasing volumes from DaVita. Excluding DaVita, first half 2026 sales grew by more than 10% over the prior year. We also delivered sequential growth with Q2 2026 sales exceeding Q1, driven by increased purchases from existing customers. We believe that this trend provides a stronger indication of the direction of the business than the 6 month comparison alone. Turning to profitability, gross profit for the second quarter was $3.2 million, compared to $2.5 million in the second quarter of 2025, representing a 30% year-over-year improvement. Gross margin increased to 18% compared to 16% during the same period last year and 17% in the first quarter of this year. For the 6 months ended June 30th, 2026, gross profit was $6.1 million compared to $5.5 million during the prior year period. Gross margin improved to 17% compared to approximately 16% during the first half of 2025. We believe these results continue the positive margin trajectory we have discussed over the last several quarters and represent another step toward our full-year gross margin target of 18 to 22%. The increase in gross profit and gross margin reflects the benefit of lower manufacturing costs, and operational efficiency initiatives implemented throughout the organization, including our most recent automation investments. These improvements are designed to create a more efficient cost structure and support long-term profitability. As production volumes increase and asset utilization continues to improve, we believe there remains additional opportunity for margin expansion over time. Moving down the income statement, our net loss for the second quarter was $1.2 million compared to a net loss of $1.5 million during the second quarter of 2025 and $1.6 million for the first quarter of 2026. For the first 6 months of 2026, net loss was $2.8 million compared to $3 million during the same period in 2025. While we are not yet at our ultimate profitability objectives, these results demonstrate continued progress toward improving overall operating performance. Adjusted EBITDA for the second quarter was a negative $200,000, consistent with the prior year period. For the six-month period, adjusted EBITDA improved $200,000 compared to the first half of 25, reflecting the benefit of higher gross profit. As additional revenue and margin improvement initiatives take hold throughout the remainder of the year, we continue to expect adjusted EBITDA to improve and remain within our previously issued guidance range of $1 to $2 million for the full year of 2026. Now let's discuss cash flow and liquidity. One of the most encouraging aspects of our second quarter performance was the continued strength of our balance sheet and the ability to generate cash from operations. During the second quarter, the company generated approximately $2.1 million of cash from operations. This performance contributed to a quarter-end balance of $24.8 million in cash, cash equivalents, and investments available for sale. Importantly, this cash balance increased from $23.9 million at the end of the first quarter and remained generally consistent with our year-end 2025 position, despite continued investments in the business and the final payments associated with the Evoqua acquisition. We have consistently stated that our primary financial objective is to achieve operating cash flow and position the business to fund its operations organically. The second quarter represents another important step toward that objective. We believe our strong cash position provides flexibility to support our growth initiatives, invest in operational improvements, pursue strategic opportunities, and continue to build long-term shareholder value. Based on our performance through the first half of the year and current business trends, we are reiterating our full year 2026 guidance. We continue to expect net sales between $70 and $75 million, gross margin between 18 and 22%, and adjusted EBITDA between $1 and $2 million and positive operating cash flow. As Mark noted earlier, we have met or exceeded our stated expectations for three consecutive years. While we remain mindful of the dynamic environment in which we operate, we are encouraged by the momentum we are seeing across the business and remain focused on disciplined execution during the second half of the year. In closing, our financial performance this quarter reflects a business that is becoming stronger, more efficient, and more predictable. Net sales increased, margin expanded, operating cash flow strengthened, and our balance sheet remains healthy. We believe these results reinforce the effectiveness of our strategy and positions us well for continued progress as we move through the remainder of 2026. Now I will turn the call back over to Mark.
Thank you, Jesse. Operator, please open the phone lines for any questions.
We will now begin the question and answer session. If you would like to ask a question, please press star one to raise your hand. To withdraw your question, press star one again. We ask that you pick up your handset when asking a question to allow for optimum sound quality. If you are muted locally, please remember to unmute your device. Please stand by while we compile the roster. Your first question comes from Nicholas Sherwood with Maxim Group. Your line is open. Please go ahead.
Hi, good morning.
Nick, I think we lost you. No, we can't hear you.
Hello?
Hello, we can hear you now.
Okay. So in the past, you've spoken about, expanding, more into the West Coast. Can you kind of talk about how, it's been going, building up your operations in that market?
Yes. So I think we've spoken about previously, it's been a strategic objective of ours to, expand our operations more directly in the West Coast. As of right now, there is really primarily one supplier of concentrates in the West, and we think there is a significant market opportunity for us to access. As we announced at the beginning of the year, we, had begun to take over a customer base that existed out in the West. We've brought those folks into the Rockwell platform and have now begun to, supply those on a consistent and regular basis. What that's doing is really opening up the opportunity for us and our sales force to go out and begin to start to talk to other customers in the West, letting them know that Rockwell is now present in that region, has a full suite of concentrates that we manufacture and distribute, and can now begin to start to supply them. So we're seeing a lot of sort of positive interactions out there, and we expect that business, that part of the business, to continue to grow.
Understood. Thank you for that detail. And then it kind of talking about the contracts you've been signing with your partners. What do the renewal structures look like? Are these things that you'll be, these 2 to 3 year contracts, it's like, will you be revisiting them with your partners, well before they end, like a year before they end, or like 6 months before they end, and kind of like some of these renewal option mechanisms, when can these be triggered, just so you can, maybe have even more idea of consistent revenue timeline?
Yep. Our, our standard sort of supply agreement is, approximately 3 years in length. It carries with it, a set amount of sort of prices for our, the products that they are purchasing. It has in its standard sort of price escalators, depending on the products, depending on the volumes that they are purchasing and the increases that they expect over those years. And then typically, we begin discussing with those partners about 6 months in advance of the end of those agreements, renewing those agreements. Given our performance, given their needs, that's usually the right time for us to begin those discussions, and then have, translated into, extensions of those agreements for longer periods.
Okay, understood. And then I know you said you'd provide more forthcoming details, but I'm going to ask a question about the medical device opportunity you mentioned earlier. Anyway, kind of how should we think about how it's going to settle in, compare with your current portfolio of products? Is this going to be something that's going to be easily bundled with your current products? It's going to either enhance their efficacy or efficiency, or is this more of kind of something where it's going to be depending on your partner? This is going to be something that's going to be applicable to them, and it'll also be able to be used with your current product base.
Yeah. So, as we've spoken about previously, we've been looking for, opportunities for us to, in particular, fold into our existing product portfolio that we think targets a large enough market opportunity to make it worth the investment for us to develop, ultimately register, and begin to start to sell and distribute a product. We've looked at a number of different opportunities, and this is one that we feel, very strongly about, that the data supports that if we are able to, develop this product, register it, and begin to distribute it, really targets a large opportunity, folds directly into the current portfolio of products that we make. We would be potentially the only other supplier of this type of product in the United States. And I think that offers a pretty significant opportunity for us. So, with all of that analysis, behind it, we took the decision to, begin the process of developing that product. And as I mentioned, in the discussion, this will be entirely funded by our balance sheet. We don't need to go out and raise additional funding to support this. We think we can do it based on our current operating plan, and you know that also makes it equally attractive to us.
Okay, yeah, great. Thank you for all those details. I'll return to the queue.
Thanks, Nick.
Your next question comes from Ram Selvaraju with H.C. Wainwright. Your line is open. Go ahead.
Good morning. This is Katie on for Ram. Beyond the manufacturing costs and volume drivers you've called out, is there a product mix component to the West Coast growth and to your path towards the high end of the 18 to 22% margin guide? On top of that, what's the plan to keep growing that Western business from here?
So in terms of the product mix, I could help that. The Western product is more skewed towards the our liquid products, which, as you know, we are the leading manufacturer of. So that's generally, it's a higher margin profile, but in terms of customers, I'll turn it over to Mark.
Yeah, and then I think as far as, you know, continuing to expand our customer base out in the West, you know, part of that is, you know, I think educating, you know, dialysis centers that are present in the West that Rockwell is, you know, now present, now manufacturing products and has a path to distribute those products in that region. So it's really us going out and starting to more aggressively meet with those clinics, whether it's a large clinic organization, it's a medium dialysis organization, and letting them know that there is an alternative out there, right, to the single provider that they've been, you know, largely locked into having to buy products from. And that's our path to kind of continue to grow. Obviously, the success of, you know, our supplying the customers that we currently have is also starting to, you know, ripple through the marketplace. And so the combination of those two, I think, are going to be, you know, incredibly important and helpful for us to drive growth further in the West.
Great. If I could, one quick follow-on. For that incremental volume growth, I think you sort of alluded to it. Does that carry a margin similar to the corporate average? Or are you seeing any kind of dilution by the freight and onboarding costs as this business matures?
So for the incremental growth that we've seen over the quarter, that is consistently higher than the corporate average.
Great. Thank you.
We have reached the end of the Q&A session. I will now turn the call back over to Dr. Strobeck for closing remarks.
As we conclude today's call, I want to reiterate that our focus remains unchanged: growing revenue, expanding margins, generating positive cash flow, and creating long-term value for our shareholders. The results we've reported today reflect the progress we are making against those objectives, including revenue growth, improved profitability, continued operational efficiencies, and a strong cash position. While we remain focused on executing our strategy, we are confident that the actions we have taken, combined with the opportunities ahead of us, position Rockwell Medical for continued growth and value creation. We appreciate the continued dedication of our employees, the trust of our customers, and the support of our shareholders. We look forward to updating you on our progress in the quarters ahead.
This concludes today's call. Thank you for attending. You may now disconnect.